An army, the saying goes, marches on its stomach. But whether it's hardtack or an MRE, it helps to have something to wash it down. Which brings me to today's GeoQuiz. And for a few clues, I brought in the world's resident beverage expert, Clark Boyd.
Yeah, Marco. This is a beverage that has been called a soldier's lifeblood. Now, this is a concoction that many servicemen and women will go to incredible lengths to both acquire and consume. It's a drink that was so popular after World War II that the average American serviceman was consuming more than 32 pounds of it a year. Oh, and just for kicks, in Vietnam, some soldiers went so far as to make this beverage using C4 explosive.
Okay, file under D, as in don't try this at home. Those are the clues. Clark, let's give listeners a couple of seconds to peruse this. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, and the answers are?
Coffee, Marco, pure and simple.
So coffee is the answer to the GeoQuiz today. And Clark, I gather your story that we're about to hear connects the dots between Afghanistan and coffee.
Yeah, it does. You know, usually you would think Afghanistan and tea, but in this case, Afghanistan and coffee. And the connection is two U.S. Marines who were deployed in Afghanistan, good friends who really bonded over a shared love of coffee. And the jumping off point was a blog post they wrote for the New York Times about coffee and the military. And that got me interested. So I wanted to call them up and find out more about their story. But I think what always springs to mind, Marco, are those scenes out of almost every war film where somebody's making a cup of joe for somebody else. And so it was kind of tough to figure out how to start this piece because there's so many scenes you could choose. I chose the scene from Black Hawk Down where this coffee-obsessed character named Grimes is in the middle of a firefight in Mogadishu in Somalia, and he pulls out the hand grinder and starts grinding a cup up for his superior officer. Here we go.
It's all in the grind, Sergeant. Can't be too fine, can't be too coarse.
How'd you like a nice hot cup of joe?
Call it combat coffee. American soldiers have, through the years, gone to extreme lengths to make it. Take the Battle of the Bulge during World War II. It's the winter of 1944-45, one of the coldest ever recorded in Europe. American troops are dug in around the Belgian town of Bastogne, surrounded by Germans. And freezing in his foxhole, awake for God knows how many hours guarding the line, is Corporal Forrest Guth, who just wants a cup of coffee. But he'd have to heat it up, and his superiors have explicit orders for him. No fires.
Don't start any kind of fire because the Germans have got this area zeroed. If they see smoke coming up, they'll drop a mortar in your foxhole.
That's military historian Martin King, author of The Tigers of Bastogne. He says Guth would go for another 2 weeks before he could get a cup of coffee. Before Guth died in 2009, he told King the story of taking the pivotal town of Foy from the Germans.
But he said the main motivation for getting stuck into these Germans was so he could actually brew up, which he did as soon as they surrendered. It took about 4 hours of the fight, and as soon as they surrendered, he got the billy can going and he got coffee made, and he said it was the absolute best cup of coffee he ever had in his life.
Fast forward to a new generation of American military.
We had no idea going into this how much coffee and the military, how closely interwoven the history is. In hindsight, it makes perfect sense that we become obsessed with perfecting brewing coffee.
That's Michael Haft, who served with the U.S. Marines. The we is his friend and fellow Marine, Harrison Suarez. Suarez says they first got the coffee bug during officer training class at Quantico.
There would be like a 10-minute coffee break, and all of these young lieutenants would just file out of the classroom. They would throw a dollar in the tin, fill up their styrofoam cups with just awful black coffee, and just hope that the caffeine would keep them stimulated for the next hour of class. It wasn't really until later that we found out, okay, there's a lot more to coffee than just the caffeine.
Both Suarez and Half deployed to Afghanistan, and they were stationed in Helmand Province, just several miles apart. On patrol, Suarez says, there were constant reminders of how important coffee is to a Marine.
We several times observed some of our Marines taking just coffee grounds and kind of putting them in between their teeth and their lips, as you would with chewing tobacco, to kind of extract some of the caffeine in that way. Not the best recipe for good coffee, but certainly effective.
When they could, though, Suarez and Haft would get together to make a proper cup of coffee and talk. They used a Vietnamese coffee set and some beans that one of Half's friends had sent in a care package. Half says he even tried to make a cup for some of the Afghan officers he was training.
We spent many hours drinking tea together. So I brought my little coffee setup over to their side of the base and made them a coffee with, you know, a little bit of sweetened condensed milk. And they just took one sip and they were like, no, absolutely not. This is not what we drink. You can keep drinking tea with us, though.
Haft and Suarez brought their growing appreciation for good coffee back from Afghanistan. Even before they finished their stint in the Marine Corps earlier this year, they were already planning to write a book about coffee. Their new ebook, Perfect Coffee at Home, is out now. Harrison Suarez says that along the way, they heard some enlightening stories.
Vietnam veterans would tell us, so we would take our helmets and we would flip them over. We would fill them with water and coffee grounds, and we would heat that. And that's how we would make our coffee, and we would share it communally.
Oh, and how would they heat it up?
They would take small bits of C4 from Claymore mines, and they would use that as like a campfire stove. If you use too much of it, the whole thing just explodes, and you blow up your coffee setup and hopefully not yourself. But if you can get the right amount of C4 and sort of burn it, just a little bit of it, you can have great coffee, so we're told.
Ah, so maybe it's not all just about the grind. For The World, this is Clark Boyd.
Whoa. Using C4 to make a cup of coffee, and I guess right after that, you can go fishing with some dynamite. Clark's still with me here in the studio. I gather you've got some more great coffee stories to share.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do, Marco, was get in touch with veterans and their families to see if they had any stories about the importance of coffee, how they made coffee in the field, etc. Let me just share some of what people wrote in to tell us. One Marine Corps infantryman wrote in to say that this was a pretty standard response, by the way. Do you just pull the packet of Instant Joe from your MRE, pour it into your mouth, rinse it down with water from the canteen, and, you know, if you're lucky, you get to add a sugar packet.
Okay. That was the easy way of drinking.
That was the easy way. Now, the other favorite was one Desert Storm vet wrote in to say that on those rare occasions when they did get real coffee instead of instant, they would end up using a sock as a filter, and they boil the water on the back of the tank. I know, sock as a filter.
Gross. All right, moving on.
Who knows whether it made the coffee better or worse, really.
All right, Clark, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Marco.
Now, we're sure that whether you're military or not, you've gone to extraordinary lengths yourselves to get a cup of coffee. You can share your stories with us at theworld.org. And just to get things started, when I was working in Rome some years ago, there was this incredible cafe, the Cafe Sant'Eustachio, that had the best cappuccino ever on the planet. But it closed over Easter, and I once dragged an out-of-towner over there for 4 days in a row in the hope that it would be open just to get one of their cappuccinos. And it did reopen, but unfortunately my friend was gone. So I got one for me, one for them, and drank them both. Wasn't going to be a total loss, I can tell you that. Wow, I could really use a cup of Joe right now. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Thank you for tuning in.